But, I want to recognize my wife for the super mom that she is this morning. And, I don't know what would happen if I was a single dad. I don't know if my kids would even make it, if they'd even survive single dadhood. I saw some pictures, a couple of pictures of some kids that their dads dressed them for school. Take a look. That's my daughter right there. That would be her right there. But we need moms, don't we? We need our moms. And motherhood is such a blessing. It's a joy, but it's also a sacrifice. So today we celebrate. We celebrate moms. And we celebrate our God, good and gracious and wonderful God that created our mothers. But I also want to recognize that, there are those that struggle on this day due to maybe a loss or just due to some different experiences. So I'm going to take some time just a minute to pray for those that this is a hard day for them, okay? Lord, I do lift up those who might be struggling today, Father, and I pray that you will comfort them, that you'll show them the beauty of motherhood, and from this day forward, you'll use them as an instrument of your work, Lord, that they'll become the woman that you have created them to be, the man that you've created him to be, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray and pray for your gracious touch on them today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, listen, everything God does has purpose and meaning. And there's a reason that you were born of a mother. There's a reason that you weren't just sort of hatched out of the ground. Good thing, right? And there's a purpose for the role of woman, wife, and mother, just like there's a purpose for the role of man, husband, and father. And with all that said, you can relax and be at peace that God has a purpose and he has a plan for all the things that he has created and the roles that he has put into our lives. And so we turn to him and we trust him in these roles. And look, God shows us in his word that moms are significant. And moms, listen, your role as a mother is one of the most important roles on earth. Your value and your position as mom is more important than you know. And if you're here today and you are a mother and you feel insignificant, God wants you to know that you have significance, that he has put you in that position for a purpose. And again, it's just more significant than you know. And, this is the Bible, right? And it is the Word of God. And Scripture tells us that this Bible is God-breathed, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. It is written by human authors, but it is inspired by a holy God. It is inerrant, that means it's without error. It's authoritative, that means it has authority to speak into your life. It has authority over the beliefs and the practices of people and mankind that he's created. It's a part of God's plan. This Bible is a part of God's plan. This book has shaped our world. It has shaped our country. Without the Word of God, we would be a very different nation. There would be no standard. The standards that we understand, the positions and roles that we see in the home are created by Almighty God. He has set those standards. But like anything, when mankind begins to tamper with these things and to think that they can do better than God, we start redefining things and reshaping life to fit our own pleasures and desires. So here's the warning. As we, as a people, forsake God, we forsake his standards. And as we forsake his standards, we forsake his roles that he's given to us. And when these roles are compromised and they're dishonored, we will feel the effects of them in our world and in our society. As we forsake the Bible, we forsake the role of family. As we forsake his word, we forsake the role of father and mother. And we begin to turn away from those things and not see them as significant as they are. And so I'm here today to encourage you that God has a purpose and a plan for your role as mother. And it's significant. It's important in his eyes. And you'll notice that man reshapes everything in accordance with to his own sinful nature. Don't allow that in your own household. Don't allow that to permeate. Children are designed to need the care and the nurture and the guidance of their mothers and their parents. That's how God has planned it. And moms, motherhood will always be your greatest ministry. It's not like, you come to church each week and you report on your ministry. You know, I got to tell you about my ministry. Here's my ministry report. My kids, I woke them up early in the morning. And it's not like you go through these ministry updates, but it is your ministry. It is a significant ministry in your life. You may not receive any accolades for the sacrifices that you make, but sometimes motherhood doesn't even feel intriguing or glamorous, does it? But your work, it might feel normal because it's close to home and because it's familiar, but never forget, you are shaping our world as you are parenting your children. And that is significant. And listen, children, all of us in this room have a mother. And look, her role is significant. We need to lift her up and encourage her and let her know how significant she is in our lives. Have y'all ever seen this book before? It's where we get our title today. This is one of my daughter's favorite books. It's called Are You My Mother? So let me tell you about the story behind this book. So this bird is about to be hatched from this egg, and the mother flies off to find food. The bird hatches, this baby boy hatches, this baby bird, and he looks around, and he's wondering where his mother is, and he looks up, and he looks down, and he looks all around. He finally leaps from the nest, and he goes on this search, this all-out search, and he goes up to all kinds of different things, dogs and cows and these different items, just wondering, are you my mother? Are you my mother? Are you my mother? And as I was reading through this passage a couple weeks ago in preparing for this message, I thought about this book. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to give the message the title of that book of Kendall's. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to start in verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. So in the book of Kings, we come across this story of two moms. And they're in this dispute over a baby. And if this baby could talk, he would probably be asking the question, are you my mother? Are you my mother? So it was a very unique situation. So much so that they were able to bring this dispute before the king of the land. The king was the chief judge, and he was the one that would deal with the affairs of the people if their disputes were significant enough to make it before him. And again, this was a difficult situation to sort through. And it's interesting, in the early parts of chapter 3 of 1 Kings, early on in the chapter, Solomon, he's in a dream, and God asks Solomon, what shall I give you? I mentioned this in our previous sermon series. And Solomon replies in verse 9, he says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. And so that's what he wanted. He wanted wisdom. He wanted discernment. So after praying that prayer, God gives Solomon a discerning heart, and he gives them this situation almost immediately, we find in verse 16. Let's begin verse 16. You'll see this up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you today. It says, "Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, 'Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else in the house. Only the two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him by her breast, and laid her dead son by my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born.' But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours.' The first lady said, 'No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine.' Thus they spoke before the king." So this was their dispute. Verse 23, "Then the king said, 'The one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living, is the living. And the king said, "Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two." Kind of gross, right? "And give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall neither be mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king answered and said, "Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is the mother." And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. So let's sort of go back and sort of unravel what's happened here. Verse 16, these two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. Again, this wasn't an easy situation, was it? Two prostitutes, no witnesses, no husbands. Prostitutes were looked down upon in the community. Prostitutes were tolerated in the city, but there was still laws prohibiting it, and there was punishment if you're caught. So typically their disputes would fall on deaf ears. Typically they wouldn't even bring their disputes in front of the king. So in verse 17, we see that the one woman says, "This woman was present when I gave birth, and we live in the same house." So if they live in the same house, it's probably a brothel. And the other ladies were away, and there were just these two alone. Then we see in verse 18, "Then 3 days later, the other woman gave birth." So the first woman gave birth, the second woman gave birth to a child. And she says, "And we were alone. There was no one else there." In other words, there's no witnesses. So you're going to just have to take my word for it, because there's no witnesses in the house. And I know I'm not a very trusted person in this city, but you're just going to have to take my word for this, because I have no one to bring to bring proof to you. And so she says, "This woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And so this is a tragic situation. She rolled over on this child, and evidently this child passed away in the night. Then she got up at midnight, and she took my son, and while I slept, and laid her dead son on me." And again, this was just a tragic situation, but instead of taking the loss, the other woman stole the living child. Look at verse 21. "When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born." And so I want to show you just a few points here of what we're learning in this passage, what we're seeing in this passage. Number one, this is a mark of a mom. Number one, one of the things that we see is a mom knows, right? A mom knows. At first she was startled, but then she started to investigate, it says in verse 21, and she knew something was wrong. This wasn't her child. She had bonded with him for 3 days, and a mom knows something is wrong. A mom knows. Moms know, don't they? Moms know. So in verse 22, it says, so when I confronted the other woman, she says, no, this is my child. The dead child is yours. So she's saying, I confronted her, and she denied this, and she insisted that this dead child was mine, but I knew because a mom knows, right? A mom knows. So the king says, well, let me get this straight. She says the baby's hers. You say the baby's yours. He goes on in verse 24. So the king says, bring me a sword. So a sword is brought out to the king, and the two women had to wonder, what's he doing? What's he getting ready to do? What is he going to do to us? They had no idea. And the king says, take the baby and divide him in half and give half to one woman and give half to the other mother. So in other words, he's saying, I don't know whose child this is, so let's just cut them in half, give each of you a half, and you'll be happy, right? But really, Solomon had no intentions of killing the child. Solomon was applying this discernment that God had given to him. He was applying this wisdom that God had given to him. So he had no intent of taking this child's life. He had every intent of finding out who this mother was. So in his wisdom, Solomon knew he couldn't rely on the words of the women. So he bypassed the words of the women and he went straight to their heart, right? And his intent is to bring out and to bring forward the true mother in this situation. So in verse 26, when Solomon spoke these words, the first woman's heart yearned for her son. So she says, oh, my Lord, give her the living child. So here's the woman whose child it legitimately is. She knows the child is facing death. And in order to protect him, she says, no, she can have the child. Give her the child. I will walk away. I'll walk away. And so through this, we see not only that a mom knows, but we also see that a mom loves. Right? Solomon knew if he threatened this child's life, the true mother's love would come out onto the surface. And her love would pour out, her heart would be revealed, her true identity would come out. And so this woman was going to fight for her child, was going to stand up for him. Why? Because she loved him. And I'm sure there was a lot of shame and a lot of rejection. When you are a prostitute, you are devalued, you are seldom believed. And for her to be able to take this before the king of all the land, Solomon, and to bring this case before him, it just shows a mother's love, regardless of what she does for a living, regardless of how many people devalue her. The love of a mother, the love that God put in the heart of a mother, Solomon knew with God's wisdom, it would come to the surface. It would come to the surface. So she has this will to fight. And I have a little story to tell you. There's a woman in northern Quebec, Canada, and her name is Lydia Agyeu, and she fought off a polar bear when he confronted her 7-year-old son. You're going to see a picture of her up here. That's her right there. So during an evening walk, here they are walking, and Lydia is about 30 feet behind her son, and her son's just sort of playing in front of her as they're walking home. But as they made their way down the street, she sees a bear advancing his attack on her son. And witnesses say that Lydia attacked the bear instead. Before it reached her son, a neighbor said, listen to this, she ran directly at the bear, grabbed a hold of its face, wrestled the bear to the ground. Other neighbors came out of the house, fired warning shots, and scared the bear off. That's a mama. A mama knows her child. A mama loves her child. And we can identify a mother by how she knows her child and how she loves her child. I see this little lady. Can you? She's up there still. Look at her. Can you imagine her running up to a polar bear? It says it was an adult polar bear. Grabs this thing by the face. Took a lot of fighting for this mom to get to this place. A prostitute standing in front of a king. And Solomon knew this. But not only did the true mother's heart surface, but the other woman's heart surfaced too. Look what it says. She says, go ahead, divide him, so neither she nor I have the child. So a mom knows, a mom loves. And finally, number three, a mom sacrifices. Solomon knew this. He knew the sacrifice of a mom. Look at verse 27. Talks about, then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first mom, and by no means put him to death. She is the mother. Solomon saw her love, and he saw her willingness to sacrifice her child, turn her child over to the other woman, would sacrifice a life with that child in order to save him, and he knew it. And by his wisdom, by the wisdom that God had given him, he was able to discern this situation. And this child didn't have to wonder, as the book says, are you my mother? But listen, as always, God is the hero in this story, isn't he? God is the hero in this story. God built this kind of knowing and this kind of loving and this kind of sacrifice into the heart of this mother. And then God gave Solomon the wisdom to be able to discern. Look at verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, listen to this, because they perceived that the wisdom of who? Of God was in him to do justice. They could have stood in awe. They didn't just stand in awe of the king. They stood in awe of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because it was God that gave him that discernment. Listen, a lot of this stuff is not just built inside of you. It's grown inside of you through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you get close to him, he gives you this discernment, the discernment that Solomon had to rectify the situation, to be able to separate good and evil. He develops the heart of love and the heart of knowing and the heart of sacrifice in a mother. So not only are those things sort of natural, but he develops these things into the heart, in the hearts of moms. And so we tend to overlook mom's role in her daily sacrifices, don't we? Because the work of mom doesn't seem real exciting sometimes. I mean, running the kids everywhere doesn't seem real exciting. Doing the laundry is not a very exciting adventure. Helping with homework. The closer you get to the home, and the closer you get to a household, the less intriguing the work seems. But I'll tell you, don't let that fool you. It is significant. And moms, listen, you are significant. You are significant to our world, to our future. We rely on you. There is no greater sacrifice than laying down your life for your family. Someone once said, everyone wants to save the world, but no one wants to help mom do the dishes. I'd share with you as I close one more story. Dwight, if you'll put that next picture up. This woman's name is Mindy Tran. She proved that there is more than one way to stop a car. When her vehicle started rolling toward a busy highway with her twin girls in the back seat, she tried to grab hold of the handle of the door to stop the car, but it was just too much momentum. It was just too strong, and it began to take speed. So she instinctively just threw herself down in front of the car and became a human speed bump, stopping it before it reached the busy road. Moms know, moms love, and moms sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our moms here today. And we celebrate them. We celebrate the value that they have, Lord. Let us honor them today. Let us not take for granted all the little things that they do. Bless them, Lord. Bless their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask my favorite mom to come up. One of my two favorite moms. Better say that in case my mom listens to the sermon on the internet. Okay, yes, let me get you ladies. She's going to sing a song for everyone. No, this is, I'm teasing.
The Brazos Pregnancy Center is having their baby bottle boomerang. So you'll notice in the back table back there, there are several bottles back there. And the work of the Brazos Pregnancy Center is to support moms that have unplanned pregnancies. And so they provide parenting classes, they provide resources, diapers, food, all sorts of